This morning I want to continue our study through 1 John. If you have your Bibles, and we'll turn with me to 1 John. And we look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 this morning. I want to read verses 1 through 6 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, may we understand that we live in an age when there are many, many spirits out there. And Father, you have told us in your word that we are to test the spirits. And that the way that we are to test your spirits is to be by your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning as we look and examine the spirit of error and the false spirits that are in the world. And Lord, help us to understand how we are to live as your people and how we are to walk in obedience to the truth of your word, that we may reflect your character and proclaim your truth. Speak to us now through your word today, this we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're looking at this particular portion of Scripture, it says, believe not every spirit. And as we look at this, we need to give some definition to what things are. And we've been looking at, on last Sunday afternoon, we began by looking at a definition of spirit. What is spirit? And we said that the spirits that are referred to in Scripture are angels. And there are two types of angels. There be the angels that are walking in obedience to God, and there be those angels that walked in rebellion to God and were deceived and fell with Satan in the great rebellion. And so that there are angels that are good angels, if you would, and angels that are referred to as demons and that seek to undermine the authority and the character of God. But yet, as we see in this verse, God is in control. And God is the one who is the one that will establish his will. And we see in Scripture that even the angels, those that have rebelled against him, will be judged. There are two dangers when you come to this particular topic. And the two dangers would be that there can be an abnormal fascination with the demonic. And many people can be so concerned about it that all they do is study the occult and study the demonic, and they become over fascinated with that and forget about God and forget about his word. But there's another danger too, and that's just as great a danger, to totally ignore it altogether, to say it doesn't exist and it has no impact on our life, that Satan and his demons have no impact on the life of the believer. We live in an age which, if you would have been preaching this message 30 years ago, people would have thought you were crazy. We lived in an age of that time of rationalism. And everybody, even within the church, believed not in supernaturalism, and really even when it came to God, denied the power of the Lord in a lot of cases and thought we can do it by ourselves. Things have changed. Our culture has changed. We realize that all of a sudden science doesn't have all the answers. I've shared with you before how that when I was a young boy, and I believe I was in about fourth or fifth grade, we got a little magazine that was called Weekly Reader. And in the Weekly Reader one time, I remember reading in there how that by the year 2000, all disease would be conquered. People would be living to be 150 to 200 years old on a regular basis. We would be able to travel very quickly as we would have our own private little airplanes or jets that we could fly from place to place. Well, guess what? None of it happened. People are still dying from the same diseases they died from 30 years ago. And every time it appears that we have one disease that we may have some solutions to, something else springs up. We see that science has not given all the answers. And what's happened is that people began to look elsewhere. Now, the sad thing is the Bible has the answers. And God has revealed to us His truth. He reveals to us why the world is the way it is. He reveals to us the real solution for man's problems. But instead of looking to Scripture, there have come a number of seducing spirits that have always been in the world, but are really increasing their activity and increasing their lies in the day in which we live. It's interesting that the secular, those that aren't even Christians, are taking note of what has happened. You see, in our culture today, there is much more going on with the demonic and the satanic. There's a quote that a popular talk show host by the name of Geraldo Rivera stated in an expose he was doing on Satanism. I'd just like to read that quote to begin to look at the topic this morning. He says, "Whether Satan exists is a matter of belief, but we are certain that Satanism exists. To some, it's a religion. To others, it's a practice of evil in the devil's name. It exists and is flourishing. It is teenagers who are most likely to fall under the spell of this jumble of dark, violent emotions called Satanism. And in some cases, they are driven into committing terrible deeds. Satanism is more than a hodgepodge of mysticism and fantasy, more than a Halloween motif. It is a violent impulse that preys on the emotionally vulnerable, especially teenagers who are often lonely and lost. It attracts the angry, the powerless, who often sink into secret lives possessed by an obsessive fascination with sex, drugs, and heavy metal rock and roll. Often Satanism seems to be a personal psychodrama, a kind of license for strange and sometimes violent behavior. Sometimes it's just half-baked mumbo-jumbo, scrawled symbols, but other times it goes deeper and is far more deadly. Satanism goes far beyond teenage obsession. All of us know that life is not safe. Every day we face the possibility of crime, disease, accidents, and disasters. So here comes Satanism, with which most of us would like to write off as a harmless antics by some lunatic fringe. A few years ago, but not now. We can see that Satanism can be linked to dope, pornography, child abuse, and murder. It has led seemingly normal teenagers into monstrous behavior. Some merely preach mysticism. Others, however, practice the most horrifying kinds of evil." If you want to look today, there is a grand conspiracy in the world. And that conspiracy is headed up by one being, Satan. And he desires to take all men down with him in rebellion to God. And he has a number of demons. We studied on last Sunday afternoon. We looked at the number of angels and angelic beings. And Scripture just gives us a glimpse of what it might be. In the Bible, we see that they're referred to, that there are 10,000 times 10,000 angels. And if you understand what that is saying in the original Greek language, 10,000 at the time that in the Greek that it was written was the highest number they had. So they were taking the highest number times the highest number to tell you that there are multitudes of angels. And we saw that last time we met and studied this topic in these verses, we saw that one third of those had fallen and were under the control of Satan, Lucifer, who led them in their rebellion against God. These evil spirits, as the Bible tells us, are to be tested. And why? Because they go about seeking whom they may deceive. This morning I want us to look at a few things that the Scripture says about these evil spirits, how we are to see what they are about, how that we can test them, lest we be deceived even in our walk with the Lord. First, let's look at the fact that that there is evil spirits. What is an evil spirit, and what is their purpose, and what are they? Who are they? There's a number of different theories that people have that are Christians, but I believe there's one that the Bible teaches, and it's not what I believe, but what the Scripture says. There's people that believe that the Scripture there's people that would believe that those that were supernatural beings that had fallen with Satan are those that are responsible for disease and responsible for different things like that, and that that's all we need to be concerned about. There's also those that would say that they are people that they have the New Age philosophy that they're men that have died and that there's these evil spirits, that they're disembodied souls. There is a third thing that people say that they're that there was a pre-Adamic type of people. You may have heard of the gap theory that was presented by people a while ago, and that is that there was a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 2:2, and during that gap of time, there was another culture that had some different type of individuals that were pre-Adam beings. That's a lie. It was designed to try and justify a response to evolution when denying the Scripture. There is no gap between there. But what the Bible says, let's turn with me to Matthew 12:24. Matthew 12:24, and see what the Bible says about demons and Satan. Matthew 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto him, "Every kingdom is divided against itself, is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Jesus views Satan as a real being. Jesus views devils as real beings. He says they exist. As a matter of fact, on more than one occasion, Jesus addressed them and cast out demons that were possessing individuals. And they are real. If you would turn with me to Matthew 25, verses 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. We read the following: "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, and unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Jesus has prepared a place for Satan and those that have rebelled against him, the lake of fire. They do exist. They are created beings. They were created by God. Now, one of the things that we need to understand is that Satan desires to be at war with God, to usurp the position of God, to take over the throne of God. But ultimately, God is in control. If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And we'll see what happened as it reveals to us what happened in heaven. Revelation 12, verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." This is speaking of a future day. As we're going to see later on this afternoon, when we look at the second half of this study, We'll see that Satan still has access to heaven today, but there's coming a day where he won't. And we see that there is going to be a war that is going to rage in heaven, and that Michael, the only archangel referred to in Scripture, and there are the New Age concept is that there's hierarchy of angels and that there's multiple archangels. The Bible tells us there's only one archangel, and that's Michael that's referred to in Scripture. But Michael is not Jesus. He is a created being. He is an angel. And unlike the Jehovah Witnesses that would say that Michael is Jesus, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a deception. And Jesus is also not the half-brother of Satan that the Mormons would say. But rather, Jesus is God. And he is going to judge Satan. If you look at what's happened in our culture, I want you to understand that this is an important issue. Because we as Christians need to understand the truth. We need to understand that, number one, we don't have to fear Satan nor demons, but that they are real and that they can have an impact on our lives and that they seek to seduce us and to tempt us to get to do that which God would not have us do and believe what is not found in God's Word. If you look at what the world would say, they want to present a different picture of what demons really are and their tactics. If you see movies and television shows, they always show demons as very ugly, horrible things that would scare you to death. Now, they could appear that way if they wanted to, I suppose. But the way that they appear to us is rather in the seducing mode where they come and try to get you to believe that which is not true and try to get you to go down a road of belief that takes you away from God and to follow them. I want us to look at what the Bible has to say specifically about what these spirits they are like and what they are about. First of all, what are the biblical explanations used to describe evil spirits? First, there is the word spirit. The word refers to a being to a being which has no need of bodily substance. A being that is a spirit does not necessarily need to have a body, though in order to accomplish some things in this material world, an evil spirit being needs to inhabit and control a human body. We find that in Matthew 12:43. If you turn with me to Matthew 12:43, and just take a quick look at that this morning. Matthew 12:43. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come out and findeth it empty, swept, and garnished, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. What is Jesus talking about? Well, he's talking about the fact that demonic spirits do come and they do possess men. And he's talking about a man who was possessed of a demonic spirit and the spirit left, but the man did not fill his heart with the Spirit of the Lord. He did not go to the Lord for deliverance. He did not go to the Lord for strength. He did not go to the Lord to have the Lord reside in his life. And instead, it was swept clean and empty, and he thought that he'd cleansed himself and that he had gotten rid of his problem. And what happened is it came back, and the spirit returned with six others that were worse than himself. Oftentimes, have you seen people that have done that? They've been involved in something like alcohol or drugs. They may go through some type of program. They may get cleaned up, and all of a sudden, they appear to have their life all together. And then all of a sudden, everything collapses, and they're in a worse condition than they were before. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. And the influence is from the demonic realm. We are influenced, and there is influences there. And as Christians, we need to understand, how does one begin to deal with the issues of rebellion and sin? How do you deal with the heart of men? How do men really change? It's not by psychology, and it's not by the philosophies of this world and the seducing doctrines of demons. Rather, it is only through the cross of Christ where one can experience true deliverance. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23, if you turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 23, we see that they are referred to as unclean. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. What is it referring to, this unclean? It's their nature and purpose. Their nature and purpose is to rebel against God. That is their nature. In Revelation 16, 13 through 14, Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, we read, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle at the great day of God Almighty." It says that there were spirits like frogs. They weren't frogs. They were like frogs. What was that? What does that mean? Going forth, spurting forth doctrines and lies that the information that these kings would believe. If you look at what's happening in our current world today, just to give you one example, look at the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel in the Middle East should be the only. We should be supporting Israel so much because it's the only democracy in the Middle East. It's the only nation in the Middle East that is prosperous and that has the same values structure that we have in our country. Yet today, our nation is doing everything it can to have Israel give away more and more land to compromise her security and her very existence. Why would we do this? It makes no sense. And then you look at those that would come against Israel in the Middle East. They have more land than Israel could ever dream of. Israel is just a little tiny area of land that about the size of a third of North Dakota. And yet in Israel today, all the nations around her want her destroyed. Why? There is something here more than just human hatred. There is a demonic push behind this, and it's exactly what is going to come in the last days, where all the nations of the world will be joined together to come against Israel. And we see that this is exactly what these unclean spirits do. The New Age movement and much of the stuff that you see on television would try and convince you that the demonic realm doesn't exist and that these spirits are really just these nice, lovely things. Jonna Mikkelsen, a number of years ago, wrote a book, and it was called The Beautiful Side of Evil. She got involved in going into trances and mystical states and communicating with spirit guides, as she referred to them, that would come and tell her what to do and reveal to her truths that she didn't know and help her in all of these areas of life. And they were so beautiful, she said, because they made themselves beautiful and they were deceiving her. She had a Christian sister who was praying for her and other believers who were praying for her. And she said that one day she was, and she had named actually her spirit guide Jesus because she wanted to be safe. And she thought that by naming him Jesus, she'd be safe. But you have to believe in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Jesus Christ who may be a spirit guide. There's a whole bunch of guys in Mexico named Jesus. There's only one Jesus who can save you, and that's the Jesus of the Bible. And we see that one day she asked her spirit guide about a question that made him mad. And she said for the first time she saw something so ugly it terrified her. You see, Satan comes to seduce you, not attempting, he wants to get you sucked in. And once he's got you sucked in and caught and hooked, then some of the real revelation can come. Now, through the grace of God, she was delivered by the power of Jesus Christ, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But we need to understand that we serve a Lord that is in control, and that but there is an adversary that is referred to, as we saw last week. Satan, is his name means adversary. He stands against God. And we see that they are out to destroy, that he is out to destroy the plans, purposes, and people of God. Satan is a destroyer, and he will use any kind of deception possible to mess up our lives. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that we are living in a world that is running to embrace his deceptions. If you look at in the public school systems, we referred to this before, you can talk about just about any type of religious system you want to talk about except biblical Christianity. You can talk about any God that you want to talk about except Jesus Christ. You can bring in any belief system except biblical Christianity. Why is that? Because the world has been seduced, and there is a conspiracy that is behind it, which is Satan and his doctrine of demon. And their purpose is to destroy the plan, purposes, and people of God. The third thing that I want you to see about these spirits is that they are seducing and deceiving. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Why are people going to abandon the Word of God? Why are they going to abandon their faith in Jesus Christ? Because of seducing spirits. The Bible tells us that. Satan has a master plan, and it is to seduce the people of God away from God. And they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, for which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that there's going to come seductions, and there's going to come doctrines, that is, belief systems that will be established by the demons that will stand against the word of God. And he gives us some examples here. It was interesting, if you look at today, when I was 40 years ago, when I was young growing up in the church, there wasn't a whole lot of nonsense that we were facing. Today there is a whole bunch of false beliefs that are entering into the church. Did you know that you don't have to go to India to find Hinduism? You can come to churches in America. I never heard of being a vegetarian to make me more righteous and holy when I was growing up. Today there are people that teach that if you really want to be a Christian, you need to be a vegetarian. That's the exact example that he gives here, that Paul gives to Timothy. He says that's a doctrine of Satan. When Satan comes and tells you you've got to do something extra from what the Word of God says in order to become more holy, in order to get closer to God, in order to walk more pure and righteous, that's a doctrine of the demons and the seduction to take your eyes off of Christ and your walk with Him. And that's exactly the example he gives here. He says, for example, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats as two examples. There was a group of people, and I believe they were called the Shakers. They were a group of people that they thought that they got a special revelation from God. And I believe it was around it was either the late 1700s or mid 1800s. And their revelation from God was that they were not to be married, and if you were married, you were not to have sexual relations, so you were never to procreate or never have children. But the preference was you were never to be married. And consequently, today there's hardly any Shakers left. Because the only way that you would ever add to the Shakers would be through outside conversion. But the thing was, it wasn't of God. As a matter of fact, we're studying on Wednesday nights about the family, that the family is of the most importance to the Lord. It's a precious gift that God has given to man and woman to have children, and that this is a lie and a doctrine of demons, that if you're more holy and righteous, then you shouldn't be married, to abstain from marriage. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to abstain from marriage unless God calls you to that specific calling for His purpose. Then we see also it says here, like we said, to abstain from meats. Nowhere in Scripture does it say. There were dietary laws that were given to the nation of Israel. There was a specific purpose, and they were given to Israel. But when in the New Testament, we see that Peter saw all these animals that were unclean according to the dietary laws of the nation of Israel, and God told Peter, take, eat, in this vision that Peter had. And he said, Lord, I can't, they're unclean. And what did he say? Whatever I have cleansed, that is clean. And what he was revealing to Peter was, there was a purpose for the dietary laws. Those are no longer in effect. But you need to understand what God is doing and live according to God's word and God's direction and not follow the doctrines of demons. Satan desires... You see, people are always... We love to try and earn things for ourselves and to do things for ourselves and to have all this belief systems that we would follow. And we are very susceptible to trusting in what Satan would put forth for us. And in the latter days, that's exactly what's going to happen. You have all kinds of things where we see doctrines of demons that are coming into the church, and they're coming seductively. Seductively. He doesn't come in dressed up like something you'd see from Friday the 13th movie, or from as Jason in one of those Halloween horror movies. That's not the way that Satan's going to come. Satan's going to come to deceive you, presenting something to you that sounds logical and good, and that I should do that. But you have to compare it and test it against the Word of God. You see, today, I was listening to a man talking. He was talking about that he'd been at a Bible conference. And this Bible conference, one of the things he started noticing as he was walking at the Bible conference is nobody had Bibles. He thought, this is really rather odd. They're coming to a Bible conference, but nobody's bringing their Bible. And they're just trusting these men that what they're saying is true. They're not looking at their Word of God. They're not bringing out their Bibles. I really appreciate when I say, turn in your Bibles, and I hear pages turning. Because that tells me that you're following along, and you're looking, and that you're reading through there, and you're seeing, does what he say really, is he being true to the text? Is what he's saying really true? Does it make sense? Is it really in the Word of God? Because otherwise, if you come without the Word of God, what are you believing? Just whatever I say. And I can make up all kinds of things. And that's exactly what the doctrines of demons do. They are seducing and deceiving spirits. This refers to how they work. How they work. They don't tell the truth. Their whole goal is to deceive you. And so they're not going to tell you the truth. Consequently, Satan will give... There is a season of pleasure to sin and to rebellion. Satan will never tell you where it takes it. Where it'll take you. He'll give you that... You know, people that take drugs, they get a high, they get an experience, but he never tells them it's going to destroy their lives. It's going to wreck them physically, emotionally, mentally. He never tells us when we have the people, when they get involved with someone other than their husband or wife, that it's going to destroy them. He never tells them that. Why? He seduces them. Seduction. What is seduction? It's lying and deceiving. It's presenting something that's not real as if it is true. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. We are warned. Begin up at verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off the occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, there's going to be people that come, and they're going to come, and they say that they're coming in the name of God. I'm coming as a Christian. I am coming as a Christian teacher. But what are they? They are false apostles. They are coming as really to be warned about. And they're being fed their doctrine by demons. Therefore, it is incumbent on us that our perception of Satan and his fallen angels conform entirely to the Bible, not to the inaccurate picture presented by the world around us. The world would want you to believe that Satan's a little red guy that runs around with a tail and horns. Or the world would want you to believe that Satan is something that you would see on a scary Hollywood movie or television show. Satan is none of those things. He can manifest himself as a horrible creature if he wants to, but the way he does it is he comes with deceptions and lies, and he desires to destroy your life, and he's got a third of the angels that God created helping him do it. And you need to understand that we have an adversary who is real, who is strong, who has a desire and motive to destroy you and your family. And you need to understand that. Then, let's go on. The fourth thing that I want you to see about evil spirits is that if you would turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. These are angels that sinned. This refers to a specific sin at a specific time. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto a day of judgment. There are some of these demons that have already been chained and awaiting a day of judgment. And it's interesting, if you look at where the Bible refers in the book of Revelation to what this judgment may entail, where they are loosed for a season. And they're loosed in the last days. And there is, as we see it, if you would turn to Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. We read the following. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Just pause here. There is coming a day where Satan is not going to have access to heaven any longer. That is in the last days, in the last of the last days, the last 7 years. He will be cast out of heaven. Today we're going to study this afternoon what Satan does as he goes into heaven, and that is to be the accuser of the saints. He has access to the throne of God today, but there's coming a day where it'll be cast out forever. And then we see that he is cast to earth. And then it goes on and it says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit. The smoke of the great furnace and the sun and the air were darkened with the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it goes on and it describes in here the power that these demonic beings have, and their power is to come against the men on the earth and to torment them. And so we see that the world is Satan's turf, and he desires to come against men. If you look at the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. Read the following. Put your finger there and let's go to 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians 4:4 first. 2 Corinthians 4:4. I want you to understand that evil spirits are in the world, that they work. And I also want you to understand, have you ever noticed that when you're trying to share the gospel with somebody who really hasn't been brought under conviction of sin by God's Spirit, that there's just a blankness and a darkness, and sometimes there can be just a real rejection and a coming against you. I remember a couple summers ago, after we'd had the Ray Comfort series here at the church, we'd been up at passing out some tracts at one of the ball games, and I was walking, coming back, and I was walking back, and there were these three young people with knapsacks on that were evidently traveling through, hitchhiking through the area. And I went over to them, and I began to talk to them and share the gospel. But this one guy got just extremely angry with me. And he pointed his finger right in my face, and he said, "You keep doing this, and somebody's going to kill you." He says, "You don't understand what you're doing. I don't want to hear any more of this," as I shared Jesus Christ with him. In 2 Corinthians, he tells us why. 2 Corinthians 4:4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan blinds people's eyes, and how does he do it? Through seduction, through power that he possesses, that God allows him to have because men's rebellious hearts desire it. But we see that their eyes have been blinded, their ears have been stopped, and a lot of it is by demonic influence and Satan control. If you look at, and in a moment I want to understand the significance and importance of that, if you turn with me now to Ephesians 2:1. "And hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." I want you to understand that Satan is the one that controls this earth's systems. God is ultimately in control. God's will be done. But the spirit of the age is Satan. Where it says he's the prince of the power of the air. The term here for air is similar to smog. Smog. It's that which is... you can't see clearly. That is the type of prince he is. He has deceived men, even as he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. Even as he deceived Eve into thinking she was doing that which would make her become a god. He does that with men today. You shall be a god. Attain to your... strive to become the person you should become. That's a lie that he has, instead of giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And so we see that the world is controlled by him. Mankind is under his control. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Begin at verse 18. "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." What a blessed thing. If you're Christ, you can't be touched by Satan. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth," where? "In wickedness." In wickedness. Now I want you to understand this, because when he says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that we are to test the spirits, I'm going to try and pull this together. There's a purpose. Because those spirits are real. And those spirits are powerful. And those spirits have an agenda. And the spirit's agenda is to rebel against God, and as we saw, to destroy God's people, God's plan, and God's purpose. And to keep the world in darkness as to where they are heading and understanding their final outcome. That there is a God who is in control, that is righteous, that is holy, that is pure, that is love. And they want us to keep us deceived from ever knowing that he exists. or if we think that we know he exists, to present a different version of him, one that isn't real. So we see that they have a purpose. Now I want you to understand, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, the Bible tells us that we are in a spiritual battle. And I've told you before, at the heart of this battle are men's souls. Who do we wrestle against? You know, it's important that we understand this, because sometimes we think our wife is the enemy. Or we think another brother or sister is the enemy. Or we think that that person at work is the enemy. We don't wrestle against them. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It tells us who we wrestle against. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against what? The wiles, that is the schemes, that is the deceptions, that is the seductions of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against men of this world. We wrestle against demonic spirits. But against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is who you wrestle against. What does that mean? The only answer is that I can't wrestle in the spiritual realms in my physical strength. So how do I do that? Paul tells us in the first verse, he says, we stand where? In Christ. In Christ. I look to Jesus Christ as the one who gives me the strength, and I look to him for the answers in how to stand against these wicked spirits who would come to seek to consume and destroy my life and yours. So how do we stand? Well, he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, and it begins with the truth of God's word. Talked before about the truth, and that the truth is the belt. He says that the truth is the belt that holds everything together. If you do not have the truth, you have nothing. You can't hold the rest of the armor in place. And you see, a lot of people today, what is the foundation of your belief system? What is more significant than anything else to you? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it better be this word. Because that is the truth. How do we know if something is a deception? How do we know if something is a lie? Only if we know the truth. How do we know if the God that is being presented to us, if the Jesus that's being presented to us, is the real one? Only if we know the truth. And there's only one source of truth, and that is the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we're not to believe an angel if he should appear to us. An angel appeared to Joseph Smith, and he created a whole religious system that's leading all millions of people into hell. Because they're following a different Jesus, a different gospel, in a different way. They were seduced. And you know what's amazing is the seduction is so clever. Ever listen to the Mormon commercials on television? They are so clever. I mean, they talk about such wholesome things, family, but you go to Utah. It was interesting. I was reading in some statistics, and highest suicide rate, highest divorce rate, Utah. Yet they're talking about family all the time. It's a lie. It's seduction, because it's based on a false premise, a false Jesus, and it will take you nowhere but away from God. Jehovah's Witnesses is the same thing. They create a legal system by which you live your life. You have to do this and do this and do this and you have to do this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say I have to do anything to earn my salvation or earn to become one of the elect of God. Rather, I only have to believe in Jesus Christ and go and accept the gift of salvation that's in Him and allow His Spirit to come and reside in me. We talked about how demons would come and they try to possess people. You know, you've probably seen or heard of possessions where people are like the demoniac that's referred to in the scriptures, where he was out of his mind. But you know, demons can have great influence over people to do things and live lifestyles. Only one thing can deliver us from the power of this world. And you see, if we begin to understand the wrestling that we're in and the battle that we're against, that it's against the spirit world, all of a sudden it makes prayer more real, doesn't it? Praying to Jesus, praying to God. It also makes what God's Word says, that I cannot do anything in and of myself, but in Christ Jesus I can do everything. It also brings to light what it really means when he says that we need to die to ourselves that we may come alive to God. Because you see, if I walk in my old nature, if I walk in my wisdom, in my understanding, I'm going to be seduced into believing a bunch of lies. And they're all around us. I cannot believe some of the lies that people believe that I went to high school with 40 years ago. Absolute lie. I would have thought, these are rational kids. Yet some of them today are deep into Eastern mysticism, deep into all kinds of weird and bizarre things. Some of them have given their lives over to alcohol and drugs. Some of them are jumping from one person to another person to another person to another person in relationships. Believing, seducing spirits that this is where you find purpose and meaning to life. Some of them are trying to climb the ladder of success and gain all kinds of materialistic things, only to come to the end of your life and you can't take them with you. Because every person has to face death by himself. So ultimately, what do? Who do we trust? And how do we come to determine, is this spirit telling me the truth or not? It is ultimately by this word. And if the word of God, if it doesn't align with the word of God, don't believe it. Do not believe it. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care if it looks like it's true. Don't believe it. Because it's a spirit right out of the pit of hell. And his whole intent is to destroy your life. You see, there is one spirit that God gives us, and that's his Holy Spirit if you're his child. You know, earlier in the message I talked about when the man came and he swept his house clean. What he did wrong is he didn't invite Jesus Christ in. Because if Jesus Christ comes into our life, no spirit can gain access. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are to turn to Christ that Satan will flee. And so the key today is, as we begin to look at, a lot of times we just kind of going back to 1 John chapter 4, the verses that we were looking at. A lot of times we can just kind of quickly go over these verses, but they're real. John gave us this verse for a reason. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test them. What religious belief systems are you buying into? Test them against the Word of God. If they do not stand against this Word, they're of Satan, and I don't care what they sound like, and I don't care what words they use. They're of Satan. It's a lie from the pit. And there's a lot of sincere people who have been deceived. And we need to understand and heed the Word and the warning. Test the spirits. God commands us to test His Spirit. If it's of the Lord, He's going to reveal it to us by His Word. Jesus Christ came so that we didn't have to be deceived. Jesus Christ came so that we could see the great conspiracy. The conspiracy to rebel against God that was being led by Satan. And that we could be delivered out from it. That we wouldn't have to be consumed with it, but that we could understand it. Way back at the beginning of the message, I talked about there's two great dangers that you can have. One is that you can become so consumed with studying about the occult and demons and how Satan's tactics are, and that's all you do. And the other is that you totally ignore it and say it doesn't exist. Both of them are what Satan wants you to want. He wants you in either place. Because if all you're doing is running around studying the latest book and never in this book, you're no threat to him. And if you don't believe it exists at all, you're really no threat to him. So we need to look at what the Bible says. The Bible says we have a real adversary who's leading a real army, who's got a real purpose, and who that we wrestle and fight against every day. This afternoon we're going to look at some of the tactics that he uses in this wrestling and fighting, and how he does come against us, and how that we can have victory over him. But we do have a real adversary. But we have one that's greater than him. We have one that gained victory. Even that song we sang. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages, and on that line stands an old rugged cross. At that cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and bought us back out of rebellion. So we don't have to be part of the conspiracy anymore. But we can be set free. If you need to come to the Lord today, all you need to do is ask Him into your heart. We don't have to do a whole bunch of things. Because He paid the price eternally. There's nothing else that has to be paid. Nothing else that has to be done except accept that gift. And then allow His Spirit to indwell us. That those old spirits have access no more. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand what it is to be your child. Help us to see the battle that we are in. Help us to understand the depth of that battle. And Father, help us to realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and forces of darkness. And the only way that we can wrestle and win is through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may your word be the foundation of our life. And may we seek to allow it to guide and direct us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.